Europe on Air.
Europe on Air.
Europa por las ondas.
Europa auf Sendung.
Europe on Air.
Europe on Air. Near FM's new weekly half-hour program looking at themes including migration, education, mass media, religion, agriculture, gender, environmental policies and much more. Tune in every Thursday 4:30 to 5 p.m. Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome back to Europe on Air. This is the 17th programme of issues which concern people in Ireland, which also concern people in Europe, and a lot of things where the legislation is coming from Europe. This week, we are going to be looking at allotments and food. Food, of course, is an issue that everybody is concerned with because everybody eats, most of them anyway. I'm joined today by Marion Kelly, who is the first female chair of the Dublin Community Growers and a campaigner for the Dublin's First City Farm. Hello. You're very welcome, Marion. I have Cathy Marsh, who is a founding member of Sonata, the National Ecology Centre out in Laytown, and who also has a regular organic growing slot on the LMFM station.
Hi,
Cathy. Hi, Cathy. Very welcome. And Robert Moss, who anyone who's involved with community gardens will have the emails because he sends around fantastic information all the time. He's currently Secretary of the Dublin Community Growers.
Thanks very much, Heidi.
So now, allotments and community gardens. Most people have heard of community gardens and I get a lot of questions about where can you find them. Robert, there's a few in this area, aren't they? What do the community growers do? Do you help people set up?
Yeah, it's a support network, a representative group, and I suppose we Dublin Community Growers. We have monthly events where people who have set up a community garden or want to, they can come along and tell us about it and ask for advice, and basically they'll meet other people who have done the same thing or are doing the same thing. And it just helps people who would otherwise be ploughing a very lonely furrow to benefit
coin of praise, yes.
yeah basically they're not having to reinvent the wheel all by themselves, so it's a support group and it's a network of community gardens across the city and beyond who are all engaged in trying to make the city a better place and a greener place to live in.
So if somebody wanted to start a community garden, that they could get advice, could they, from?
Oh, definitely. Come along to the monthly Dublin Community Growers meetings. They're on in the first Monday of every month in the Dublin Food Co-op. And also there's a publication we wrote. It's the Dublin Guide to Community Gardening. It's available online on the Dublin.ie website, and it lists all of the different community gardens that already exist in Dublin, and it provides advice on how to set one up.
Okay, and what if somebody didn't want to set one up, they just wanted to join one that's already existing? Is there a list of gardens in the area?
Oh, there certainly is. When I rewrote the guide last October, we had 46 gardens approach. Wow. For a free listing within the guide. That's an increase from only two community gardens back 10 years ago. And they're all there listed in the guide. There are obviously other ones out there. One of the newest ones, I think, is in your neighbourhood here, is in Coolock, the Doris Bui Community Garden.
The Change Garden, yeah. There's a few organisations involved with that, and Doris Bui gave the funding. It's been extremely successful. People are coming to it from all around Coolock, and it's a very happy place. Dogs, animals, children.
Well, there's a great appetite for community gardens, certainly within Dublin, but you can see why. There's so many people living in apartment complexes now, so why wouldn't there be? I mean, when the sun shines, which it is at the moment, thank goodness, you know, who wants to be stuck in an apartment? You want to get out in the garden and you want to have some fun quality time in the garden. You know?
Well, that one in Coolock now, in just beside Northside Partnership, is open every Wednesday and Saturday between 11 and 1 if anybody ever wanted to drop down. You just turn up for it. Are there any others in the area, Robert?
Yeah, I'll list a few. On the north side, we have the Sanctuary Community Garden. It's probably one of the biggest ones in Dublin. I think it's about 5 acres. It's within the old Sanctuary Domain walled garden there. And again, what happened, I think the land was owned by Fingal County Council. And it was during the boom built on by, you guessed it, apartment complexes. So they're all kind of in their apartments looking out at the same view, which is this disused Victorian walled garden. So some residents had the bright idea of turning it into a community garden. It's been very, very successful. So there's that one. There's also the Serenity Community Garden, which is in Phibsborough, also in north central Dublin. And there'll be a Green Communities training event on the 12th of July, where we'll be learning how to use the herbs grown within the garden, how to use them.
These should all be legal herbs.
Indeed, they will. And then there's also community gardens on the south side of Dublin as well. There's the Shangana Community Garden down in Dunleary Rath Down, and that's one of the larger community gardens there. So the guide exists. It's available online, as I say, at dublin.ie. You can get free copies from the Dublin City Community Forum within Dublin City Council. And that lists a lot of the gardens that are within Dublin. There's 46 within that guidebook alone.
Very good. And I'd been pushing one there at Robert, because I was just there this morning. The Epilepsy Foundation allotments as well. They're putting up some fantastic new buildings. He never stops, that fella. And if people want to drop into that, that's on the Swords Road there out towards Malahide. It's 086-777-8058 if people wanted to get involved with that one as well. They have special plots as well for anybody with disability. They give those out for free for if somebody has a disability. And then they charge then for if you don't have a disability. So, and that's how they pay for their bits and pieces. Cathy?
And on those particular ones, can I say that the soil there is really good if you want to get in on a good
really?
Allotment.
Really? Yes. This is out towards, between Malahide and Swords, is yes. it, on that yes. road? Of course, that's a green belty area, isn't
it? It's a green belty area, and it's never had a lot of chemicals. It was mostly in pasture before it became allotments.
Ooh, there
and,
you go.
The soil, I had a look at a few of those allotments. The soil's lovely.
I thought it was just particularly talented people because their cabbages are enormous. Not there, but there you go. I'm easily impressed. Cathy, there's out in Sonata, it's a kind of a community garden, isn't it? It's not really allotments.
It's not allotments. Sonata has always fancied having allotments, but in fact there are allotments now straight across the road from Sonata, private allotments, and again on very nice ground with lots of freely available cow manure to go into them to keep them growing nicely. Mm. And Declan McIntosh across the road is running very nice allotments straight across the road from Sonata. And Sonata, of course, has always run courses in how to grow what you want to grow on your allotments. Mm-hmm, but in Sonata itself, as you say, it's always been very much a community garden. It's not just a vegetable-growing area, fruit-growing area. It's a garden. It has toys for children. You know, there's a cafe and a shop and all the things you want if you want to go and spend a few hours there. It's got nature trails and all that sort of thing as well. And it is free for to anybody these days. There's no admission charge at all.
Brilliant.
So people can just go and walk in, and if they want to give a hand, they'll be more than welcome. And if they just want to enjoy the place, it's theirs. It's, as I say, very much a community garden these days.
Remember, there always been a lot of volunteers down there working quite regularly, actually. It's quite extraordinary how people are quite happy to give their time.
Oh, yes. I mean, the head gardener at the moment has been volunteering there for many, many years. There's something about the place, I think, that inspires. And once you set up a community garden, people get involved and they want to give their time. They see how much good it's doing them and they want to give back. And I think that's true of community gardens everywhere.
Yeah. Marion, you're particularly interested in a city community garden. Tell us about that.
It's a city farm.
Okay.
And really, I suppose when I came to Dublin, first of all, 35 years ago, one of the things I loved about Dublin, there was animals in the city. There were pigs and there were cows. And I was always impressed by that. But now there are no animals. Animals aren't allowed in a lot of the community gardens in Dublin. So my objective is to set up a city farm. And that would be free for everyone to go into, so there's no cost, and we would be 80% sustainable. So we're showing people where their food comes from and getting children to interact with animals, which I think is a really important thing. And just showing them you can grow kale for your goats and turnips for your pigs and get them to interact with animals and with nature.
Oh, okay. There's quite a lot about health, isn't there, and animals. And I just remember seeing some things about animals and children. Benefits.
Yeah, the developmental benefits are huge. Not only for children, but for adults. I mean, even to stroke a dog or a cat calms people down. They bring dogs and cats now to nursing homes. But for children from the year up to about seven, their developmental years, it's extremely important for them to interact with nature and animals. And so many inner city children are being deprived of that. Mm-hmm. There are things like, there is the Phoenix Park, the zoo, and there is Airfield House, which is an amazing facility, but they all cost money. If you've got a few children and you've got a limited budget, you can't avail of that service. And my idea is that people walk, cycle, or just come along to City Farm, and it doesn't cost them any money. They can come in, they can hang out, you know, help out if they want to, volunteer. We intend to run the farm purely on corporate sponsorship, and try and get some of the big corporations to come and do, you know, to pay to actually do team building workshops in the farm. We're going to have a small cafe, and we're going to also open its space for art exhibitions, for any community exhibitions or work we can. Mm-hmm. So we're going to.
Would it have to be farm related type exhibitions, or?
Well, hopefully it'll be environmental.
Okay.
Anything, because we're not only teaching about farming. What we're trying to teach too is not factory farming. We're teaching the farming that existed in the 1970s. I mean, it's part of our heritage. Mm. I mean, most people in Ireland either came from a small holding or their granny was in our small holding. And when we joined the EU, we lost it. And it's quite sad that people don't understand things that I grew up knowing. Just, I thought everyone knew them, and now they don't. They're so used to everything is factory farmed, it's all hidden, no one understands, you know, when the goats come into milk, how many pints of milk they produce, like things like that.
So there's a body of knowledge there, you think, that has been lost?
Lost, and I think that it's our duty to pass it on. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Cathy? Yeah, I mean, on what Marion's saying there, I remember vividly some years ago a child from Ballymun coming from Sonata, and somebody picked a gooseberry and asked the children what they thought it was, and this child quite genuinely thought it was a potato. And we're that far, you know, from where we came from.
Robert?
Yeah, just to say, I think it's very important that there are farms within cities that people can visit, because otherwise farming and food production becomes out of sight, out of mind. It becomes something like a war in another country. It doesn't really affect people. And that's a very, very dangerous situation. And we saw last year with the meat scandals, what happens when there isn't visibility and when it's not something that people consider, they just take for granted. So I think city farms are really, food is extremely important to us. It's we're utterly dependent on it, so we should appreciate it and we should make the effort. We should be allowed to understand how our food is farmed. I think in every other major city in Europe there are city farms. There needs to be one here as well.
Mm. Well, we talked a little bit last week about the weather and how that's affecting farming all over the world, and how a little bit of about food security and how insecure it is if we don't, you know, if our food is coming from such a long distance. That's kind of affected by this as well, isn't it? It's a little bit more secure.
It is. I mean, the whole thing is your carbon footprint. I mean, growing locally and eating locally, you're eating within your climate zone, you're eating with your local area zones, because it's amazing, even within Dublin, you know, things, the soil changes, the climate changes. So it's so important, you know, to actually be able to walk down to a garden, as I do in the evenings. I don't go to Tesco anymore. I go down with my little basin and I pick my tea.
That's probably saving a bit of money as well.
It's saving money. It's making me feel better. It's empowering me. And now I'm not the only one. There's a whole gang of people. Yesterday evening I was down there and all the children were down there collecting raspberries and red currants. And just, it's amazing. It's what summer should be. It's what we've always done. we have to pass this on. And that's what I think is so important. And I think we all work, we're all amazed by how quickly children get it, especially. They maybe don't know about growing things, but once a child gets it, they really understand it. They just, it's like something goes off in their head, they understand. And if we can just get it out there to them and pass it on, I think that is the most important thing. If anything we do, anything else, that's the most important thing.
Kathy? And once they start picking things, they start eating them as well, and they just automatically shift to a much healthier diet. Mm. The dependence on intensively produced meat can start dropping straight away when your child is actually asking for fresh vegetables.
I know, I'm sure many parents kind of have, couldn't imagine that, but I've seen it actually. I've seen children now who've come across vegetables for the first time, even with mud on them, and they'll eat it.
They'll happily eat it with mud on,
Just for the laugh and play with the insects. Now, there are some courses of people who know absolutely nothing about gardening whatsoever. There's a few ways they can start to find out about things, isn't there? Kathy, is there stuff going on in Sonata?
There are regular courses in Sonata, and if people look at the Sonata website, sonata.ie, they'll see just what's coming up when, and they can book onto that. Some are Sonata's own courses, some are VEC courses based in Sonata.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's good to do a course, I think, to get kick-started. I started with a course and that kind of plunged me into it, but then you never stop learning, really, is it, with gardening?
No.
It goes on and on. Robert, what kind of courses? You mentioned one there.
Yeah, the a lot of the community gardens across Dublin, they're members of a network called the Green Communities Programme, and that's run by Aunt Ashka. It was set up because there's a lot of support for community groups who are involved in areas such as sport or youth groups, but there's not really much support for groups that are involved in improving their local environment. So we set up the Green Communities Programme at the Antashka Environmental Education Unit, and it provides monthly training events. And the next one coming up is the 12th of July, and that'll be in the Phibsborough Community Garden, the Sorrento Community Garden. And we'll be teaching people about the herbs that can be grown within the garden and what to do with them, and showing people how to prepare things like poultices and infusions.
Oh, fabulous.
And then in August, the Green Communities Training Event will be held down in Shangana Community Garden, down in South Dublin. And that will be a beeswax candle making workshop. And we'll have a beekeeper who will be showing us the life cycle of the beehives and how to harvest the wax and how to make candles from it. So those free events are coming up. If anyone's interested, they can find out more information from the Antashka website, which is worldwideweb.antashka.org, and you just look on the Green Communities page.
Mm. Now, a lot of the movement for this, so the enthusiasm and some of the funding as well, a lot of the funding is coming from Europe, isn't it? What kind of encouragement or support are we getting, do you think, from... Well, how is that...
Well, for EU funding, it is very difficult to access for two reasons. One, the application process is very complicated, and the other reason, because it's matched funding. That is, an organisation, a community group, can apply for maybe 60-70%, but then they have to find the other 20-30% themselves, which can be very difficult. So it's a complex process. What I'd advise community groups such as community gardens, allotments, would be to look at the local Agenda 21 funding. And that's now available through your local authority. So if you go online, whether it's Dublin City, Dunleary, Rathdown, Fingal, and just search for Local Agenda 21, you'll be able to download the application form. The deadline is this Monday, so you'd have to get a move on there.
What, Cathy?
On the LA 21 funding, there really is a wide range of things you can do for community gardens.
I was just going to say, what can you do?
Yeah, you can access things like biodiversity projects and things like that. You can access teaching aids. I mean, for Sonata, we've used it for compost bins in the past, things as simple as that. And although you have to find matching funding, some of that matching can be in volunteer labour. So it isn't always the cash that you need to find. You need to find some of the cash, but you can also do some of it in labour.
Very good. Biodiversity, now we haven't mentioned that because that is another benefit, isn't it, from gardens, any kind of gardens?
Yes, definitely.
The farms, obviously, you're increasing a fair bit of biodiversity there.
Well, that's it. We really want to teach children that as well. I mean, the whole point about City Farm, we want to try and get it to be 80% sustainable, which is, I believe, doable. But we want to teach people that you don't have to have everything running in rows. It's encouraging nature. It's bringing nature back into the city. It's getting children to look at butterflies and birds and making them aware of their environment and how to garden in a sustainable way. And you don't do that using chemicals, or you use organic methods, and that's the way to teach children, and they, you know, just to show them how beautiful nature is, because a lot of children don't have that luxury. They are in apartments, they don't have anywhere to play but the streets, they don't even have access to a park. So we want to bring them in and show them everything, and to show them it's possible. It's possible in their city.
It's pleasant.
You know.
There is a European move, isn't there, this year against food waste? Isn't this year the 2014 against food waste? I know that Voice for Irish Concern for the Environment was running a programme there last year, at the end of last year, beginning of this year, to stop food waste.
They've been running it in different forms for about 3 years now.
Is that it? Yeah. Oh, right, OK.
Working with the EPA.
Yeah. And do you know much about that programme at all? Or?
Well, it's taken different forms over time. I mean, they have lots of leaflets available to start off with that people can just write and ask them for or download off their website on how to do home composting, things like that. They've been running master composting programmes with the local authorities all over Ireland. They've worked together on that and developing them. And
it's kind of possible to get a bit obsessed about composting, isn't it, really, though?
Well, it is, but if you think about it, when you put something in the brown bin, you're actually giving away the compost you could be growing your own plants
in. No, I could never do that.
It's my brown bin is a very useful store for my homemade compost.
Yeah, the only thing I'm willing to give
it to other people.
I'll give away bindweed and that's it. That's the only thing they get.
Oh, no, you put bindweed in an old compost sack and leave it tied up for a year or so and it rots.
That's probably, yes, of course, yes. You've got your long-term composting things as well. I'd say most community gardens have a compost at this stage, do they?
We do. In Serenity, we have open composting, and that's one of the miracles of the whole thing too. Is originally when we put the composter in, you think we'd built a nuclear bunker because people were saying, "Oh, it's going to encourage rats and this and that." And now everyone's composting. It's just they got it.
Yes. There were rats anyway.
We live in the inner city, so there's always been rats. But you know what? Everyone is coming to compost. People who were saying, "Oh, I'd never do that." They're all doing it.
Yeah.
And they're all having a good chat when they're down there. Even if they don't garden, they use the composter. So it's amazing.
Yeah, it's hard to stop, actually, once you start, isn't it?
Well, that's, I think, sums up gardening, basically. You go there to pick some salad after work and you're there an hour or two later because you find something to do. Needs tweaking or mending or straightening out.
That's where the best education about gardening comes from, because, I mean, we've all talked about wandering down in the evening now, and that's when you exchange information, because everybody's moseying down, particularly on a nice evening like some of the ones we've had recently. And you discuss how good your crops are and how bad the slugs are and what you've tried and what so-and-so's tried and really learn.
You pick
then.
Up the tricks and the trade, Robert.
Yes, a very good point, because the clues in the name with a community garden, gardening's half of it, the community's the other side. I think it's very important with a community garden, you've got this kind of space, this location where you can actually go and interact with other people. And living in a city can be quite isolating, especially maybe elderly people or non-nationals whose English isn't so good. It's very important that there is this place where they can just go and it's legitimate for them to be there and be gardening, and they can practice their English or they can talk about whatever it is that might be troubling them that day. It's good to have that kind of neutral space where you can interact with the neighbourhood.
Mm-hmm. So if you were going to recommend to people one thing to do to get involved or to grow more, what would it be, do you think, there? Now, Marion, you start.
Oh, I think the most important thing is actually have a look at the guide or download the guide and actually find a garden that's near you and just walk down to the garden, and I think that garden will inspire you. I think just walking around talking to people, you'll find something that just, I don't know, you get bitten by the bug and it starts there. And I think that's just it. Go down there and walk down there, even if you've never done gardening before. But I do believe you will be just, you'll be back.
Kathy, what do you think?
Well, I'd second that one, but I'd also say sow a few seeds on your own windowsill. Watch something come up that you've actually planted.
Mm-hmm. Lettuces.
Very quick. Very easy,
aren't they? Yeah, yes. Yeah, all the time. Robert, what would you say?
I'd say go to your local community garden and ask them that question. You'll invariably leave with a whole armful of stuff that they have too much produce. You know, every year you have a surplus of something or other. So you'll wind your way home with loads of lettuces, or it'll be borage plants or something.
Yeah.
So just do that, and hey, maybe it'll spawn another community garden on your street.
Brilliant. So, yes,
go forth
and multiply. Yeah,
definitely.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for joining me today. This has been great. Marion Kelly, Kathy Marsh, Robert Moss, thank you so much, and happy growing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's all from us this week. This is Heidi Bedell from the Baldoyle Forum. Next week, we will be looking at biodiversity. So it's tied in a little bit to this one, all about the animals and plants that are around the place and how we can get more of them. So we hope you'll join us again next week. Bye-bye.
Europa por las ondas.
Europa auf Sendung.
Europe on air.
Europe on air. Near FM's new weekly half-hour programme looking at themes including migration, education, mass media, religion, agriculture, gender, environmental policies and much more. Tune in every Thursday 4:30 to 5 p.m. Europe on Air radio campaign has been financed by the European Union. The contents of the radio shows reflect only the author's views, and the Commission is not responsible for any use that may be made of the information they contain.